I'm going to be talking to you about the summer season. We've been talking about these seasons. There's a time for everything. There's a season. You have those papers there with you that I passed out. If we're talking agriculturally, the summer is the time when we've planted, what we hope to harvest, and we tend to those plants that we've worked hard for. We keep our eyes peeled for pests and weeds that threaten to kind of undo all the work that we've done. We weed, we water, and I'd like to speak about the ways that we can use this kind of understanding and apply it to God's Word to encourage us and spur us on. And this is a different type of teaching for me because I've just been in this dry time with the Lord for months, dry. It was almost like last year after our ladies' retreat, I had done all this like mental preparation and working for it. And then we got done and I was so excited with how it went that I just like shut off. And last year's theme was not going down without a fight. Now here I am. And so asking for your grace. In the past when I've taught, it's always been on something that I've experienced or seen victory in, areas that the Lord's taught me something that I like wanted to share and encourage, or something that like he's given me a revelation and something's finally clicked in scripture for me, and it's like it goes from here to here and I get it. And the way that I learn things is through teaching it or retelling it, and that's just kind of how it cements it. But months ago the Lord started stirring me up about this idea of he gives us all of these seasons for a reason. And instead of bucking against them, maybe we should lean into where he has us. And he was showing me all these different parallels, and the same thing to April. It was like when I'm talking to her, she's saying like the same things that are kind of going along with it. And so we kind of started formulating this. Well, then we both were praying and fasting about, you know, what we should speak on. And I felt like the Lord kept showing me that we need to keep our eyes on the kingdom and this kind of summer season, pressing in, not losing sight of the harvest and maintaining what we've been given. But the more that I would try to work on it, the more I would search for inspiration, some sort of revelation. I was just like waiting for the Lord to just pull me out of this slump that I'm in. It was like he showed me clearer and clearer, that's not the perspective that I'm going to be teaching on. And I was like, what do you want me to do then? Because I can't teach on something that I don't know or I can't speak to from the other side. And then as I'm putting it together, I was just feeling like a fraud or like a hypocrite or like a failure. And I'm telling this to Andrew, and he was like, well, are you speaking from the Bible? I was like, well, yeah. He goes, is all the things that you're teaching on, are they biblically accurate? I was like, yeah. And he goes, so who cares what you think? I was like, well, that's kind of a good point. It doesn't matter what I feel or where I'm at. God's word is still true. His word never changes. So let's work it out in real time together, because this is where I'm at. And as much as I don't necessarily feel it, I'm not necessarily stirred up. I'm not on fire like I feel like I have been in the past, but God's word is still true. And so maybe you're in that same boat. Maybe we can encourage each other. Maybe we can pull each other along, encourage each other, and really all of us together seek after the kingdom, seek after that full and robust reward. Let's not just be sitting amongst the weeds and neglected bounty and forgetting that we have this great relationship with the Lord, there to be nurtured, there to be flourishing. So, what are we working towards? We're working towards a lot of things. We're going to address some of the rewards that God's promised us. The goal is keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and his kingdom. If we were in the garden in mid-June or mid-July, what keeps us out there? If like we see growth but nothing's really bearing fruit yet, why am I out there trying to beat the heat to water? Why am I on my hands and knees pulling weeds one by one? It's for the hope of a harvest. I have that tomato in my mind that's not a store-bought tomato. It has a full garden taste. I'm going after a cucumber that tastes better than from the store. I'm not out there for nothing. And so God's promised us many things in his word, and it's not so that we work for our salvation. We can never. If the last thing Jesus ever did for us and the only thing Jesus ever did for us was save us from eternal damnation, that's more than enough. Amen. It's more than I deserve. Amen. But he's such a good father. He's such a good father, and he didn't stop there. He gives us great things, and he encourages us to press on. He encourages us to obtain wisdom, holiness, endure temptation. Jesus bore humanity for us. So if anybody understands the damage that sin does to us, it's Jesus. But God draws us with loving kindness, and he rewards his children freely. And he constantly reminds us of this in Scripture, of the good things to come for those who love him. So I never want to conflate the rewards that God gives us with salvation. And the things that we're going to cover, it's only 7 verses. There's so much more in Scripture to be had. So I hope that it can inspire you, and it can maybe you look at these verses that you've seen a bunch of times before, and maybe you look at them a little bit differently. And so you have this paper that has this chart on it. You guys all know if-then statements. If this, then that. So we're going to go through these verses together. And like I said, it's just a couple of them. And I have the verse written down for you. I'll read the verse. Then we're going to write down the if, and then we're going to write down the then. And it's just keeping us, like, it's just a visual reminder. This is what God has for us. This is just some of the rewards he promises us. So let's look at James 1:12. This verse says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So what's our if there? If we endure temptation. And then it also at the end, to those he promised to those who love him. So if we endure and if we love the Lord, then what? We'll receive the crown of life. We'll be blessed. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Woman, they will receive the crown of life. Matthew 7:24-27. This is a long one. This is the wise man and the foolish man. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat at that house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So we'll look at the positive side first. So what's our if? If we hear and if we do, then? Yeah. You'll be like a wise man, a man who builds his house on the rock. Floods came, rains came, it withstood. What's our negative one there? If you hear it and you don't do it, yeah. You'll be like one who builds on the sand, and his fall is great. Matthew 7:7-11. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So what's our if there? There's like 3 things. Right, if we ask, if we seek, if we knock, then you will... Yeah, you'll receive, you will find, it will be open to you. Why? Because he's truly a good father. He delights in rewarding his children. Proverbs 3:34, "Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble." If you're humble, then he gives us grace. 1 Peter 5:6, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." If we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then you will be exalted by God in due time. 1 Peter 5:10, "But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." If we endure suffering and resist the devil, then God's grace will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. 1 Peter 2:6, therefore it is also contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Now this one's cool because this is a scripture in the New Testament referencing a scripture in the Old Testament. It's like God saying, in case you forgot it, here it is again. If you believe on him, then you will not be put to shame. So if we look back over these causes and effects that are given to us, all of these things are things that I want. I want his grace. I want him to show me. I want him to open that door for me. I want to find him. I want to be exalted by him. I want him desperately to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle me. I want his peace. What gets us that then? We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. If we seek, if we ask, if we knock, if we hear his sayings and do them, if we believe on him. But what about when we lose sight of those things? I love having that written out and seeing it, but what happens when we lose sight of that? 1 Corinthians 13:11-12 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Mm-hmm. When we've lost our vision for the kingdom of God, be encouraged that we won't ever see it 100% clearly here. We just won't. We're encouraged to press on, to move on from milk like a newborn, and God does delight in giving us revelation. But there will never be a time this side of heaven that we will see 100% clearly. We won't know it all, but let it be a comfort to you rather than a disappointment. What we can know for certain is God's character. We can know his heart for us and his people. We can look back at history and see how God's hand has moved. We can look at the Israelites at the Red Sea. We can look at a friend or our own or someone's marriage that was in shambles and in jeopardy and the Lord healed it. We can look at Jacob when he was sold into slavery and what God's hand did on his life. We can look at healings that have happened in our own life or our friends. All of those things, he has no shortage of his hand moving on behalf of his people. No shortage of that. And so maybe you're like me and you're a fixer. And so when you go through dry times, you begin to think it's because like you did something wrong and you want to figure out what it is and you want to fix it. Maybe there's something between you and the Lord. You seek the Lord on that, but maybe you have human eyes. Maybe you won't see clearly here. We might not know how or why or when of things, but we can be absolutely confident in the provisions of the Lord and his sovereignty. We can be absolutely confident in the harvest that he has for us. Like it says in Philippians, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will complete it. Romans 8:28 says, for God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I'm sure you probably heard that verse 100 times before, but this is not an empty promise. It's not a platitude. It's not a nicety. It's not God sitting next to you saying, like, I mean, it'll all be okay. It'll all work out. That's him saying, I have this. Yeah. I have you. Rest in me. So when I'm tempted to condemn myself for not being good enough or diligent enough or spending enough time in pious prayer, I can remind myself that Jesus is my salvation, not my to-do list, not my ability to complete these things that I have to do. He is my salvation, my complete salvation. And he has all of these rewards and these promises, and I can look at his word and see, okay, Lord, I'm dry. I need strength. I feel weak. I feel prideful. I want your grace. I want to humble myself. I am asking and I'm seeking and I'm seeing in your word that you will answer. I don't see it now, but I know you will answer. I know that the harvest is there. He promises that I can seek, I can knock, I can look, knowing I'll find. maybe not as soon as I'd like, but I will. And he will open that door for us. Years ago, I had this vision the Lord gave me, and I've told it before. You probably all heard it. I don't care. I love it. It's from the Lord, so it's encouraged me so much, and he was reminding me of it the other day. I was standing on the edge of this field. The Lord showed me I was standing on this edge of this field, and this grass was like this tall. I couldn't see over it. And on the other side of it, I knew Jesus was there, but I couldn't see where he was. And so trying to get to Jesus, and I'm going all through. I'm trying to jump to see if I can see over the grass. Like, I got to get to him, but I cannot see. And then all of a sudden, it was like he was just elevated. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he was there. And I was like, oh, I'm going. And I'm going. The grass is still there. It's still this tall. But I see exactly where I'm going. My sights are set. And I'm charging full force ahead. It was like the Lord showed me when he's on our level, we're going to wander. If he is not elevated, revered, worshipped, feared, we are going to wander. We'll go aimlessly. We'll just toil on as if we have no purpose. We are a people made to worship. And when he isn't in a position to worship him, we suffer and we wander. We lose sight of the harvest. But regardless of how we feel, the Lord is good, and that's where he belongs. We can stand faithful on his word, no matter if we feel faithful or not. Even if we slack, even if we feel like I'm in this garden, I haven't watered for a month, everything is dry, everything is shriveled. His spirit revives that. He makes up that lack. We have lack. We will never not, but he makes up for that. And so as I was putting this together, he just kept telling me, eyes on the kingdom, hand to the plow, eyes on the kingdom. Hand to the plow. Okay, fine. I can't like feel it for myself, but I see it and I know it'll get there sometime. So I was also just so encouraged by Brianna. I was like, everything she was saying, I was like, oh, okay, let's go. And it's so cool because every time we put these things together, like we briefly talk about what we're going to say together, April and I, but then after that, I've completely forgotten. I had no clue. And just somehow the Lord orchestrates all of this because he is good and he delights in revealing himself to us. He delights in giving us good things. He delights in refreshing us because he's a good and faithful Father. So I want to end with this verse from Psalm 51 that I've loved for years and years. Psalm 51, 10 through 12 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit from within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." I've used that a lot of times in my life. Truthfully, a couple months ago, that next verse right after that says, "And then I will teach transgressors your ways." And I'm looking at it and I'm like, these kids are transgressors. Help me so I can teach them. And he did. But I'm telling you, this verse is beautiful and it gets to my heart every time. It's like, okay, it's yucky here and it's dry and it's worn out. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Return to me the joy of your salvation, because I know it's there. I know it's there. It will see me through to the harvest. Let me keep my eyes on the kingdom. Let me keep my hand to the plow. So let this be our heart's cry as well, as we wait on the Lord and as we encourage one another.